Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to a special edition here of Eli and Roger in the Evening here on NDB Media. It's really good stuff. Of course, I want to introduce the host of this program. Yeah, I know, I'm going first. It's just what I do. I just talk too much. Of course, I want to introduce Eli Gray, and of course, I am Roger, the scorekeeper Noriega. Dude, we're live. We're live around the world.
Yes, sir. Special,
why
special
is it
edition.
That we're live?
Why is it that we're live? Baseball World is afloat tonight with a big mega blockbuster deal between the Marlins and the Blue Jays. Now, let's let you recap it, and then I'll jump in with some thoughts.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going there right now. As a matter of fact, you know, I was ready to go, but then my computer loves to do what it does, so I'm going over to that link right now.
I'll run it down quickly. Blue Jays, Marlins, Blue Jays trade. Here is where the big names you'll know on the Marlins side of this deal. Marlins give up Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Jose Reyes, Emilio Bonifacio, and John Buck. In exchange, they get Yunel Escobar, who is the shortstop for the Blue Jays, formerly of the Atlanta Braves, and prospects Jake Marinsack, Justin Nicolino, Anthony Discalfani, and also big leaguers Henderson Alvarez, Jeff Mathis, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this one correctly, Adiani Hekavarov.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's close enough, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that one I go with however I just see it and pronounce it, and that one's not, you know, until I hear the official correct pronunciation, I'm going to botch that one, so... You know, and Twitter and Facebook and everyone's abuzz with the Marlins are being the Marlins, overspending and dumping salaries and doing what the Marlins always do. And I am a diehard Marlins fan. I love the team. I've been going to games forever. I've been a defender of the team. Let me lay it out simply. Yes, the Marlins got rid of a lot of talent tonight. But let's not pretend that they are blowing up a World Series winning team. The team was a failed experiment last year. Now, if you're a smart person, what do you do when experiments fail? You start over. Most people, human nature is that people try to cover their back, say, no, we didn't really fail. Let's give it longer. Let's see if it'll go. And you know this in sports all the time. GMs try to cover their back and say, no, it wasn't really a failure. Keep their job. I actually give the Marlins front office some real credit here. In the trade, in saying, we screwed up last year. Last year, we went out, we spent a lot of money, as everyone knows, and it was a failure. Miami finished dead last in the National League at 69-93. They were 29 games back of Washington. That's a disaster in comparison to what they were supposed to do, how they looked on paper going into the season. When disaster like that happens, you need to start over. And that's what the Marlins are doing. Now, the onus is on the Marlins' head right now to say, look, we gutted this team. We purged salary, and in purging salary, what you need to give up good players. I mean, you're going to include it in a bad salary, you're going to have to give up some good players. The Marlins had to throw in Josh Johnson as the good player in this trade. The onus is on their head now going forward. What do you do the rest of this offseason? I don't even care if they spend money or not, but you have to add solid baseball players to come in and fill out the roster and get this team back to a winning way in a tough NL East. So, right now, the reaction of most Marlins fans saying, it's just what they've always done. It's what they've always done. That I completely 100% disagree with this. If they don't go out and fill out the roster correctly and spend a little more money, then yes, the reaction is correct. But it's too early to make any sort of assessment of this trade because this trade cannot be assessed just based on this trade. It needs to be put into a larger context. The larger context being we had a failed experiment. We're starting over. Give us time. See what we can do. People have become intellectually lazy when it comes to the Marlins. In 97, they won the World Series. Right away, they gutted that team. And that was Wayne Huizenga. That was not Gloria. Wayne Huizenga decided to gut the team, make the money, and completely redo. They made awful trades. They said, first come, first serve. You give us whatever prospect's name you want, and we will give you whatever major league player you want off our team. Fast forward, 2003. The Marlins beat the Yankees in New York. They had a very young, solid team. 2004, they kept pretty much every player intact. They let Padres walk because they didn't want to give him a long-term deal. He didn't want a one-year deal. They signed Carlos Delgado. Delgado was a 5. In 2004, the only major loss they took was Pudge Rodriguez. They let that team play together in 2004, and that team did disastrous. Then, in the offseason of 2004, is when they traded everyone. So to say that they gutted the 2003 World Series team is being intellectually dishonest, because that's not what happened. They let it play out in 2004. 2004 was a disaster, and they traded everyone.
You know, Eli, I hadn't given that some thought. That I appreciate that. It's very credible, because I do remember that. I remember right away, 97
everyone
was gone.
Everyone bundles it together as if they did it in right after the World Series in 2003. That's not what happened. They gave it 2004. 2004 was bad. After 2004 being bad, they realized they needed to do something about it. And that's when they started trading.
Yeah, you know, I had not really given some of that thought. And then now...
The same reason right now, where everyone's acting as they blew up a World Series winning team. They blew up an awful, awful team last year that should have done so much better, especially on paper and the big name free agents that they added.
Yeah, and one reason why they were able to blow up this team, because of their standing policy of not giving no trade clauses. They were able to dump huge sums of money, and now they're on the hook for what, $16 million right now? And what I mean by on the hook, that's what their salary cost is, not including arbitration-eligible players. So basically, they spent a ton of money last year, almost to the day, and now they can basically do it again. That's crazy.
They agreed. Now, like I said, the key is going to be to see what happens the rest of this offseason. Remember, we're in November. Catchers and pitchers don't report until beginning of February. There's still a lot of time to make more moves, to add players, to round this roster out and get it to be a winner. And remember, here's another thing. Marlins hired who as their new manager?
Oh, yes.
Mike Redmond, the former catcher. And where did he coach in the minors?
Toronto?
The Toronto Blue Jays. And which players did he coach? Some of the players are getting back in the trade right now. You want to bet that he had a little bit of say in this trade?
Just a little bit. I think he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's see what they do the rest of this offseason before jumping to conclusions and saying they're betraying the fans, this is awful, it's a salary purge. Yes, it's a salary purge, but it's purging it's purging an awful team. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm so much happier doing it this offseason instead of giving it 2-3 more years and saying, yeah, give it time. No, they came out, they manned up, they said, we made a mistake, we need to redo this.
You know, I agree with you. I had not thought about that. I had not thought about it that way, and I really like your thinking on it. And they did it early enough where they can now do the maneuvering and they can see what they can do. Now, if I may, if you want to go over some of the players that they picked up, I mean, there could be that diamond in the rough when some of those other guys. And when you look at those prospects, there are some good ones in there, but I think your genuine star, the one that is really going to be your best player, is that shortstop, Yunel Escobar.
He's still a relatively young player.
Yeah, he is. I mean, if we can, actually agree that their birth certificates are probably false anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
But all kidding aside,
that's been the experience with... Yeah, it... No, with the Cuban players, you're right. You never with Latin American players, you never know what you're getting.
Exactly.
But
I still believe that kid is going to be a star. I think it was a shame that they got rid of, your shortstop, then third baseman, which you sent over to the Dodgers. Don't know what the issue was with him, but that's another conversation for another day. I do believe you have a star on this guy. and it's going to be good for the Marlins. Now, when you look at that second player, I guess we can call him Adeni Hechavarria. This guy is an up-and-comer. I think he was ready to go in 2013. We only have his minor league statistic numbers to look at. He did hit 254 on the season in 126 games, but I think this is a guy that stayed around. He's only 23. And I think the Marlins, on just these two players alone, have done very well.
Yeah, I mean, some of the players the Marlins gave up in the trade, it's tough to see them go. But when you look at the whole trade in a context, and you put it all into a context, it's not nearly as bad.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I really thought they overpaid for Mark Burley. We know what Mark Burley did, and I think that's the biggest dodge that you were able
to. And it's funny, because you're right. They did overspend. You know, I don't have a – it's their money they could overspend. You know, it's easy for us to sit here and say, you know, yeah, go spend the money.
Oh, it's true.
Last offseason, I remember so many Marlins fans saying, we overspent on Burley. We overspent on Reyes. And now, when they dump him after mediocre seasons, they're all, look, we're purging salary. Well, last season you didn't want him because you overspent, and now you're giving the owners, you know, crap for dumping the salary? You can't have it both ways.
That's funny, Eli. That is so true, dude. I would almost ask you to repeat that again. I mean, basically they're complaining that they overspent on him, and now that they're gone, dude, what are you doing? You can't have it both ways.
It's schizophrenia, you know? Now, I'm not... If the Marlins go into the season with this being their one thing and they don't add any good players and they don't make this a solid roster, then yes, the outrage tonight will be justifiable. But to go out right now and go on all this rant and raving about how it's the Marlins being the Marlins, no, it's the Marlins manning up, saying we made a mistake, we screwed up, last season was a disaster, we need to redo this.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
Eli. And yes, you do. Some of the players got rid of. Bonifacio is going to be a loss.
Yeah.
JJ's a loss. But that's what you got to do. When you're getting rid of bad money, you got to get rid of some, you got to give some good players too. And they're getting prospects. They're getting players to work with. Now you got to go out and solidify this roster and put a product on the field for next year. And that's going to be the teller. Right now, the reaction tonight is stupid. The reaction either way, saying it's a great trade would be stupid, and saying it's an awful trade would be stupid. You got to be able to say, look at it in context, look at the team they had last year. I don't know that it's a great trade. I don't know that it's a bad trade. I understand the trade. There's a reason for it. We had a bad team last year. You need to redo it, especially in the new stadium. You need to justify that new stadium. You need to put winning products on the field, and last year was anything but a winner.
Yeah, and I'm glad you rectified the mistake of getting rid of that manager. Never did like that guy. He shot himself in the foot like 18 times, maybe 19. But I want to throw this one in, Eli. Being a Yankee fan and acknowledging clearly that we got our butts kicked in 2003, I'm good with it. I immediately looked upon the deal, looking at the names, and right away said, man, the American League just got a bit tougher, the American League East. The Blue Jays?
Oh, yeah, and without a doubt, the Blue Jays became a better team from this trade.
Yeah, you know starting pitching, decent to good starting pitching is at a premium. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. And the Blue Jays actually got themselves a good starter, if not a very good starter, from Johnson. And Burley's coming back to the American League. Forget his salary. Forget all that stuff. This guy has a potential.
But if you look at Burley's numbers, I forget it, but look at Burley's numbers against the AL East, and they're not impressive. I mean, the AL East, and they are just not impressive. Let's see if I can pull them up quickly. I remember somebody posted it on Twitter. Let's see.
You are right. And his numbers are not good. The Yankees, I think, generally eat him alive. But in my humble opinion, it strengthens the Blue Jays, because you have a guy that's going to go out there, an old guy that's going to go give you 7-8 innings a start. Because you know, Eli, those pitchers just – I know the game has changed.
Right. That's
you
the
still
one
need
good
those
thing
guys.
About Burley, even though the ERA isn't great, he eats innings for you.
Yeah.
And he will consistently eat innings for you.
And for that, I think the Blue Jays, right off, on paper, did good. And as a Yankee fan, you don't want good pitchers in your division. You just don't. But, Eli, I've got to agree with your argument. I had not thought of it that way, and I like that thinking. First of all, it is stupid of us to even try to evaluate the trade. It's just impossible because we don't know what the results of it is. But I hadn't thought about it that, yeah, the Marlins manned up and were able to do it, and they got rid of these guys because they got rid of the reliever, Heath, right? Heath Bell.
Heath Bell, they sent him off to Arizona earlier in the offseason.
Yeah. And that was the start, and now almost all the money. And Jose Reyes, you know, I joke.
And also remember, they got last year in the Anibal Sanchez trade with Detroit, they got some very good pitching back in Jacob Turner.
That's right. That is so right. You know, I hadn't thought about that.
They got a starting catcher, and they got a solid number one or two pitcher in Jacob Turner in that trade. Which last offseason also, everyone was jumping. How could you trade Anibal Sanchez? How could you trade Omar Infante? But look, Anibal Sanchez is going to get a lot of money this offseason on the free agent market. Infante's a...
You know,
Eli, the Marlins got Jacob Turner back. They got, and even in the Hanley Ramirez trade with the Dodgers, they got Nathan Eovaldi, who will be a solid number three pitcher. They are thinking bigger picture. They realized last year, and I'll say this 100 times, last year was a disaster. I had much expectations. I was telling people through the roof, the Marlins are going to be awesome this year. Look at the players we signed. And I was a fool for saying that. Because look at how they did. They were awful. They were disastrous. You needed to blow that up and redo it over, and they were able to do so tonight. Now they got to do something more than this. Put players on the field, make this, which
trading
these players and their money right now gives them the opportunity to do it.
Yes, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize. But I wanted to
welcome go right ahead.
The couch potato. He is in the chat room. And, Sonny, I've got to tell you, dude, you need to listen in a little bit. Your comment in the chat room is probably what I would have thought to begin with. It was a salary dump. But let me tell you, Eli has been, well, he already formed a good argument. Not only formed it, I think he made it very clear. It was a good deal. One thing, Sonny, that we as baseball fans that we've come to despise is the no-trade clause. Good or bad, the no-trade clause is just bad for baseball. The Yankees are stuck with one of the heaviest contracts because they were stupid, number one, and then they were stupid again by giving the no-trade clause. And what Eli was making clear is that the Marlins had a bad team last year, and they acknowledged it. They manned up, blew up the team, and are starting over again. And it's an interesting argument. And I know I went real quick on there, Eli, but whatever I missed, you fill it in right now. I like your argument.
No, that's exactly it. Right now, saying it was a salary dump, saying it's the Marlins being the Marlins is being lazy. It's not thinking it through. It's not realizing the context. It's not being honest. It's easy. It's taking the easy road out. And this ownership is getting a lot of – they're being bundled in with 97 for some reason. Remember, 97 was not them. 03, they won the World Series. They gave it a year. Team stunk the year after the World Series. That's when they made the decision in that offseason, the following offseason, to purge Ross, to purge salary. How could you call that a salary dump? They got rid of some money, but it's not like they got rid of a winner. That was the same thing. Ask any Marlins fan, any baseball fan, after winter meetings last year and all the trades and free agent signings that the Marlins made, they should have contended for the NL East and been a playoff team. And worst case scenario, the wild card team. What did they do? They went out, won 69 games, which is unacceptable for the team and the amount of money that they spend. The Marlins said it right after the season, and they said, and this trade further proves what they said, they need to that failed a disaster. They got rid of Ozzy because they did not like the public persona that he was putting on. It was the Ozzy show, and it wasn't about the Marlins. He got into players, you know, I think some of the players liked him, but it was, he was, everyone knows Ozzy is Ozzy. They decided they didn't want that. They brought in Mike Redman, a player who has experience in the organization, player who was a former catcher. And if you notice, that's the trend in baseball lately, hire former catchers, because they have to know the game. They have to know how to call a game. They have to know all the game scenarios, so they're ready for that managerial experience, as well as they get different pitchers. They get pitchers' personalities. They have to manage the personalities of the pitcher, which is what, you know, five different pitchers, relief pitchers as well, and that gives an opportunity and the knowledge to be able to manage the rest, you know, all the players on a team. A manager, that, you know, managers, how important they are in baseball, we could debate today till tomorrow, but the one thing they definitely need to know how to do is they have to have the basic knowledge of the game, and they have to be able to manage personalities. A former catcher, he was a backup, he was on the bench a lot, manager personalities, everyone loved him, he has the experience in the game. That's where they went. They went with Mike Redman, a low-key guy who's going to be a player's manager. He's smart. He knows the system. And now they got rid of a lot of these salaries. They brought in some players that Redman coached in the minors. And now the thing that's going to be the most interesting to watch is, what do the Marlins do going forward? I don't want to talk and put blame on the Marlins front office and say this is a bad trade till I see what they do. That's my opinion in a nutshell right now.
I appreciate it, Eli. And we have some guests in the chat room. You guys, you know the number, 347-637-2306. By all means, just go ahead and give us a call, share your thoughts. Couch Potato, I know you're really going off in the chat room. By all means. One of his last comments is they'll probably be good eventually with the players they acquired. But for the next few years, the team is really, really in a bad situation right now. They have no one to come up and see except maybe Giancarlo Stanton. All right. Okay, I appreciate that, Sonny. I see that you can't talk right now. Sonny, look, there is some truth to that, but I will definitely agree with Eli. It's way too early to, number one, evaluate the trade and evaluate the Marlins because, gee, has anyone been signed yet, Eli? I don't think they've even started yet, right? Free agency?
Correct.
Yeah. And, Sonny, look at it this way. They signed Reyes to a monster contract. He's gone. Mark Burley, a big contract. He's gone. And Stanton, I'm not sure. I don't think he had a long contract, right? He was still arbitration eligible. So all of a sudden, they have a lot more money again to spend. And remember, they have a new stadium. And they have fans that, you know, are going to pay for the seats. And if they don't put players out there, they're not going to pay for the seats. So I still think it is a bit too early, and I acknowledge Eli in his argument that, hey, you know what? They manned up. They realized the team was bad. They blew it up, and they're going to do it again. Yes. Did you catch that comment by Giancarlo Stanton, Eli, on his Twitter feed that he is really pissed off now?
Yes, I did. And, I mean, I understand that. I'm not saying, and from a player's perspective, for sure, he's friends with these guys. They got, I'm not saying they did not get rid of talent. They got rid of talent because they had to get rid of money as well. Because bad contracts hold you down. You cannot have a backup catcher making the money. John Buck, that's essentially what he's going to be next year. He's not. $6 million to bat 180. You need to get rid of that. Burley was as a Marlins fan, not having to worry about the money aspect of it, I thought it was a solid signing. He, as you mentioned, he's an innings eater. He puts up good numbers overall. Well, in the AL East, not so great, but he's an innings eater. He's a solid pitcher. But now knowing that they have to redo what they did, you don't feel so bad about trading a Burley because he is making a lot. Josh Johnson. Yes, you're getting rid of a top five pitcher in baseball right now, with two caveats, though. JJ hasn't had a full... I mean, last year he was fully healthy pretty much, but he didn't have a great season. When he has been dominant, he hasn't had a full season. I think on the Blue Jays' end, they got a great pitcher in Johnson. It's going to be interesting to see how healthy he stays. But with the Marlins... intellectually dishonest and cliched and saying they're salary dumping and they're till we see what they do with that. So yes, by the strict definition of salary dump, of course it was, because they're getting rid of money. But look at the context of it, it's bad money on a bad team. That's what you have to do if you're intellectually honest like with yourself, which I think the front office is. They said it was an awful season last year. Unacceptable from this squad. We need a redo.
I agree. I can't say it enough, Eli. I hadn't thought of it that way. At first glance, I wasn't paying attention. As soon as I found out about the trade, I was like, ooh, lots of names. And like I said, as a Yankee fan, I was like, oh, man, just got harder for us. And I guess in the back of the mind, I thought it was a salary dump because I haven't had a chance to go over all the players. I know, I'm telling you, there are two stars there. Looking at it, I think they're going to be okay. But, yeah, I know, it is way too early to make a decision. And, Laker fan, thanks for joining us. If you want in, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we're live right now, 347-637-2306. Eli contacted me because he's been hearing a lot of bunk and junk and a lot of evil things from a lot of people because they're unhappy with this trade. And I want to also repeat something that he said. Early on, they were talking about, certain people in the baseball world were saying they overspent on this team last year. And now that they got rid of those over expenditures, now they're calling it a salary dump. Well, duh. And as Eli said, you can't have it both ways. So if you guys want to share your thoughts, come on in. Come on in, guys. We have a lot to say right here. We're getting people in the chat room. Eli is the Marlin fan, and I'm glad to be joining them for this one. As a Yankee fan, I'm just unhappy that the Blue Jays got more pitching.
Yeah, and it's the NL, the AL East right now has got to be the best. I mean, it has been for years, but even more so now, it's the best division in baseball.
In that, I'm lucky because the teams are competing, and I'm so happy with the Baltimore Orioles. Buck Showalter, dude. I mean, I like that guy. I loved him when he was a Yankee. I'm sorry we got rid of him. But think of what the Baltimore Orioles had. They really weren't that good. They had some good bright spots, but Buck Showalter made them competitors from last year and this year. Yeah, the American League is going to be tough. But let me tell you, the National League East is not going to be a weakling either. You've got some good teams in there. And I don't know. We don't know who they're going to sign. They've got all that money. Guys, the Marlins only have $16 million under contract. All the money that they spent last season, they can do it again. That's what's the beauty of it, and I didn't even see it that way until Eli made that clear to me. I like it, dude. That's one hell of a do-over.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what they do.
Yeah, you got a lot of room. They had $100 million payroll, now that's gone, and they can do it again.
Every Yankees fan right now is calling for A-Rod to be traded, especially after the performance he's had, and they've been calling it for a while. This is essentially what the Marlins are doing. They traded their A-Rod, and the Yankees aren't doing it. I mean, they're trading bad money and bad contracts.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that earlier. I had no idea that the Marlins have a standing policy on no trade clauses. They don't offer them. They don't have them. And that's a good thing because all the guys in Yankee land, Yankee exiles, know you can't get rid of A-Rod because the Yankees were dumb enough to give him that. But you know what? Whatever. Look, I'm a baseball fan, Eli, and I don't know how you feel about this, but if a player is being paid an ungodly sum of money, I don't care what the guy is paid. If he performs, dude, I'm good with it. But if they're paid this huge sum of money and they don't perform and they start, you know, they start moaning and whining about it, I'm like, dude, shut up. You're getting paid. And I've always believed in that. If they're not performing, boo them. That's all right. But I don't care how much these guys are paid because, Eli, if you had the skill and someone offered you a 10-year, $275 million contract, what are you going to do? Say no?
Yeah, I mean, if you take the money aspect out of it and just look at the players they are trading, don't put names to it, look at the stats that they put up last year, you don't have a problem with this deal. Everyone's freaking out because it's so much money. Yes, but it was money spent badly.
Dude, you're so right. And that's something that I heard a few years ago. Someone said, hey, take the names out. Take the money out. Just look at the numbers. That's right. I haven't had a chance to do this. Both Eli and I did not know of this trade up until, I guess, what, 2-3 hours ago? I had no idea.
Yeah, it came totally out of the blue. I mean, I was following Twitter all day today. Nothing was being mentioned. And all of a sudden, this comes out of the blue. So
well,
that's the reason I wanted this special edition. Is just for one reason and one reason only, to vent.
Well, Eli, we do have a caller. I'm not going to go ahead and screen the caller. I should have had you calling as a host. That was my fault. But we're going to take the caller right now. But caller, don't forget, there's about a 1 second delay. Let us know who you are and where you hail from. You are live on Eli and Roger in the Evening. Go ahead, caller. Hi, caller from the 718 area code. No? Don't want in? Okay, I guess not. I'm putting you back on hold. So if you want to come back into the program, just let us know. Just press that 1 again, and we'll take the call. So, is it worth Eli asking you, if you had the money, where would you spend it on? Or who would you spend it on?
I don't know that you need to go out and spend it on a big name. I think you go out and get a bunch of solid players. You know, don't learn a little bit from your mistakes last year. Don't spend money. You know, don't spend big money on a name. Spend it smartly on players that'll fill out your roster. That'll, you know, play solid for you. Put up good numbers, and you know, it doesn't have to be a hot and sexy name. Just do it smarter. I'll be the first to tell you, I love what they did last. Players look good on paper, but they didn't perform. So now you tweak it. You do it a little bit differently. If they keep, you know, if they revert back to the low bottom of the barrel payroll that they've had in years past, then yes, every Marlins fan, every baseball fan, baseball in general has a right to be upset. But if they spend a little bit, they go back to middle of the pack payroll, and they put together a solid team, that's perfectly good in my books.
So, what are you thinking, Eli? Just taking it straight. If they don't sign anyone, this is going to be bad for baseball. But knowing the little bit of talent that they have now, can they compete? Let's just say they pocketed the money, and they just really didn't go after anyone. They filled in a few places here and there. Do the Marlins right now have the talent to compete, or no?
If they don't add any solid players, probably not. Just, I mean, the NL East is also it's very good. You've got Atlanta, you've got Washington, you've got Philly, who will be interesting to see if last year was an aberration or what, you know. I mean, in all likelihood, logically, you would say last year was an aberration. They're not going to be as bad as they started off last year. The teams right now, it'll be very hard to compete. I don't think you'll see awful baseball, but you know it won't be a solid team in and out. You have to add players. Have to go after, you know, crazy names and sign big contracts. You bring back a guy like Carlos Lee, for example. You know, I'm looking at the list right now. So, you know, first base, they need someone. They might move Logan Morrison out from the outfield into first base, although now they, you know, they're missing out on some of the outfield with Bonifacio gone. So let's look down the free agent list quickly here. It's the first time doing it. You bring back a guy like Carlos Lee at first base. Not crazy money, but had a solid year last year. Could hit the home run, but yeah, and also the doubles. Second base, looking at the potential free agents, no name really stands. I mean, they have to add solid players. You don't necessarily need sexy names at big money contracts. Add solid players and build around that. That's
right.
What you should do.
Eli, let me interrupt you there right now. We do have a caller from the New York area. I'm going to go ahead and they actually got out of the queue and got back in, so I'm sure they want in. Once again, let us know who you are and where you hail from. I mean, I know it's New York, but here we go. All right, caller, go ahead. Hi, caller, 718.
Still nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I mean, I hear some noise in the back room.
Maybe he's just calling to listen.
Possibly. Well, all right, caller. Are you saying anything? Try again, caller. No, it's not. We're just not hearing. It might just be that they're calling and right, Sonny. There is a lot of static. Don't know what it is, but all right. They were calling from the Brooklyn area. Oh, I don't know. It says Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn. That could be anywhere in New York.
Yeah, somewhere in New York.
Right. Well, caller, I don't know what the issue is. Maybe your phone's just not working. Or the Blog Talk radio system is just doing us a favor right now. But anyway, we're well into the program. Eli, where do you want to take us?
Yeah, man. You know, let's continue looking down the street. You know, third base, you got Kevin Cosman. You know, they added Kevin Cosman. You know, man, you add solid players. Give them. Don't. And the thing that I think will be really key for the Marlins also is, I want every single position open during spring training. I think that should be the rule in general, not just on this team. I would love to see for both teams. Spring training, you have open competition. Let the player who plays best win the job. Too many jobs are handed over to players just, you know, based on osmosis when it shouldn't be. Marlins need a third baseman desperately, you know, after training. League deal already. There are talks of Kevin Youkilis. Bring those two. Let them compete. You have the rookie catcher from last year. You have a few more catchers. You let them compete. Let it be an offseason of competition. Let Mike Redmond, the new manager, make decisions and go in like that. Don't go into spring training with any preconceived notions about who's going to play what and why they deserve to. Let the player on the field do that.
Yeah, I hear you. It's going to be interesting with the Marlins. The free agent market is a bit on the thin side, ladies and gentlemen, but there is some talent out there. They do have some in the minor leagues. Maybe they're going to combine that with a few more trades. But as we know, the offseason hasn't even really begun. The winter meetings haven't begun yet. So there's going to be a lot of chance, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it's a salary dump in the purest, simplest form. It was, as Eli says, an acknowledgement that they screwed up. And they blew up the team because it didn't work. So we'll see. We'll see. Even though Couch Potato can't agree with two baseball guys, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Let him call in and tell us. Otherwise, it's, you know, hard to see what he's really saying.
Yeah. You guys know the numbers, 347-637-2306. All right. And for those of you that are in the chat room, don't forget, you can press on the little S button right up at the top of the chat room. That's the Skype button. So you can press on that and call in via the internet for free. But remember, you need a mic, folks. We've had people call in and they didn't have a mic, so they couldn't talk to us. So get a mic. You know, M-I-C, not an M-I-K-E. If you want to get a mic, that's up to you. But we're talking about M-I-C.
Yeah, M-I-C is what's needed, not the M-I-K-E.
I mean, if they want, that's up to them. But we do have guests in the chat room. And let's see. Kachpadil says, no, I don't have the knowledge of baseball in order to debate the experts. Dude, we're fans. We're hardcore fans. Eli's a Marlin. I'm a Yankee. And, of course, it happens to be that DJ is also a Yankee. So it's good that both of us, both DJ and Eli are not. I'm both DJ and myself aren't on because we'd unfortunately put Eli in a corner, even though the Marlins beat the Yankees last time around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the CBS headline right now. Marlins owners must be stopped. Well, they weren't saying that last offseason when they spent the money. Now that they spent the money and said it was bad and you know, what we pay. Look at it this way. If you spend money and you don't get a return on that money, you are right and have every right to say, I want to try to re-spend this. They're a middle of the market team. Miami's a mid market baseball team. It's not. I mean, it's a smaller market than the big teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers. We're spending up with that with those guys. So now they're scaling it back. All you know, if they would have had a winning season last year, if they would have been in playoff contention until the last week, and something out of the blue happened and they didn't make the playoffs, and then they went ahead and did this, then yes, you're right to say it was a salary dump. They shouldn't be doing it. The Marlins owner must be stopped. They went out. They spent money. It was a disaster. Now they're trying to redo over what they mistook and made a bad decision on last year. Let's see what they do before jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to jump to a conclusion on that one. Cashman just says, wait, I'm not saying it wasn't a good move. I'm just saying it was a dump. Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure. It was a great move, but what does that tell the fan? They want to try and buy a championship. Do most fans like
to... It tells the fans very simply. It tells the fans we need to do better. Last year, what we thought would work didn't work. We are admitting that. We're taking the blame. We're saying right now we're not going to let mediocrity continue. We realize we had a bad season last year and this needs to be redone. Let's give them the chance to show us what they're going to do before reacting and overreacting to this trade. That's exactly what it tells me as a Marlins fan.
All right.
Strict definition, it was a salary dump. But let's be a little bit intellectually honest, and let's not be lazy, and let's talk about this and extrapolate it further. Salary dump is not necessarily a bad thing, especially when you have a crappy team like they did last year. What you need to do is a salary dump. You need to dump that and re-spend it and redo it and redo this team.
All right. As a matter of fact, Eli, we do have a caller from the 646 area code. I believe, again, that is New York. Remember, caller, there's a one-second delay. Let us know who you are and where you hail from. You're live on Eli and Roger in the evening. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is Jeremy calling from New York. Eli, my boy, where have you been? Where have you been, my boy?
DJ got sick this week.
No, that's not what happened. What happened was is that Ryan Tannehill played terrible on Sunday, and you just couldn't face the music. I mean, come on, Eli.
As you said
to the caller before, let's be intellectually honest here.
But you're not listening to what I keep saying about Tannehill. I'm not saying he's Dan Marino right now. I'm saying for what he's shown on the field, last week was a regression. But up until that point, he had been very solid. He went 110 passes without a pick. He showed progress. I'm saying that he was the right pick last year and has shown the signs that he will be a very good quarterback in this league. Is he in top 10 right now? No. Is he showing signs that he will be at some point? given more time on the field? Yes, and that's what every football person
says.
Well,
Eli, first of all,
except for the New Yorkers, who you find in Miami to say.
Because on Sunday, I wanted to congratulate you. Obviously, the 72 Dolphins.
Please, please, God, tell me you're up the creek right now because either you're a Jets fan, I can just laugh at you, or you're a Giants fan who got beat just as bad as the Dolphins.
Right, just, you know, as I'm, you know, sitting looking at my four rings, sitting in my, you know, trophy case over here, and you're celebrating the one thing your team has, which is that 72 victory. Enjoy it. Anyway, Eli, you still have not answered the question. What is it about Tannehill that will be different from any of the 14 Dolphin quarterbacks since Marino?
He only has a year under his belt at quarterback. He's
so
looks very calm.
So did Chad Pennington. So did all of these
guys. No, they
guys.
Didn't. They
he
had
no.
They had those were
good.
Veterans. Those were veterans who came in towards their tail end of the career to Miami.
Chad Henne was a veteran.
Chad Henne was not, but Chad Henne never looked calm and collected in the pocket. He never made good decisions.
Tannehill
is doing that. Then you're not being honest with yourself because you're the only one who is saying this. You are the
only
one
who
is saying this.
You
absolutely are.
I read all
the national stuff. I talk to people in other cities. I don't even live in my...
I mean, listen, this guy should be a photographer. I mean, he should not be a quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, whoa, whoa, hold on a minute.
When you go in the NFL as a rookie quarterback, 110 passes without throwing a pick, and that's called making good decisions. Yeah, I'm sorry. That is.
Eli,
and
please,
and only up until this week, the only picks he had were the bad, you know, real bad ones against Houston. Other than that,
my boy Colin Cowherd says, the league has found a tape on Tannehill, and now it will be exposed for what he is, which is at best a mediocre quarterback. He had a couple of weeks where nobody had tape on him.
That's very easy to say before you could actually prove it. Tell me that in a year and a half. Tell me that in 2 years.
Eli,
don't tell me that after one bad game.
Eli, the man is regressing. The guy is regressing.
But you told me he didn't do anything good. How could he regress from not doing anything good? So you're running yourself in circles right now. You're trying so damn hard to say that Tannehill, who the league is saying is going to be a good quarterback, if not a great quarterback, and definitely a franchise quarterback, and you're running around in circles trying to go, well, he sucked, he hasn't showed us anything, but he's regressing from the things that he hasn't shown us yet? Which one is it? Come on.
He was a little bit better, but he's getting worse.
That's all I hear out of you.
No,
Jeremy, if I interrupt Jeremy, it's actually good to hear from you, but here's the deal. Couch Potato is apparently he's a Tannehill favorite, and he says he's a rookie. He's going to have bad games, so we'll
that's right. But Roger, and you know this, that's all I've been saying all along, is it's too damn
Roger,
early to make
Roger,
any
Roger,
statement.
Roger, I want you to
You're
tell me I want to tell you something.
And
Eli is convinced. And this is what you guys have been saying, that this guy is going to be a great quarterback. There's absolutely
I'm
no
saying
way
what,
of knowing
what, there, what he's played so far
you're
has showed that he is
okay.
growing and that he is growing into a good quarterback.
Okay,
he's
first of all, hold on.
Yet.
Jeremy, don't be that way, dude, because when I take your call, I always say hi, dude. Don't put me in the middle of this.
I love you, Roger. Roger, I love you.
Anyway, but no, okay, look.
I don't know what happened to DJ, but I mean, you know.
DJ is not feeling well, and that's all we can say right now. He really isn't feeling well. As a matter of fact, Eli contacted me to talk about this Marlins stuff that was going on, and he called
DJ.
That's
typical Miami sports team. Just, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Roger, you gotta, you know, you can't have like a plan and then just blow it up in a year. If you make a plan, you gotta stick with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Jeremy, I'm actually not sure if you've heard the rest of the conversation.
I like what Eli said.
I really do. Look, they had a plan. They blew it up because it didn't work. And now they get to start again.
You can't give up after 1 year.
Well, hey,
When the plan showed out to be that bad, yes, you can.
No, it was because Ozzie Guin was a bad manager. They just, you know, they didn't care.
Well, I don't think anyone will argue with you on that one, Jeremy. You can say that one from here to forever, and I agree with you on that. Ozzie Guillen is the most overpriced, stuck-up, narrow-minded, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder. Come on! Worthless.
All right, listen, Eli, just give me a word when Tannehill's terrible Thursday night. Please don't chicken out of Sunday night show, all right?
As long as he is healthy and ready to go, I'm ready to go.
Hey, wait a minute.
Have a good one,
Jeremy, he really didn't chicken out, man. He wasn't feeling well, and we're going to be on again. We just did this one the last minute, and I think it was good. We did lose Jeremy, so he did hang up now. Jeez, you were ready to go on Sunday night, Eli. I remember we were having that conversation.
Yeah, and you know, I made the point the whole time. Is Tannehill a great quarterback right now? No. Is he shown that he can grow into that? Yes. There's nothing that he's shown that says he won't. Jeremy makes the assumption at the outset that he's a bad quarterback. Based on what? The guy only has 1 year in college. He's won the job from a veteran in camp. Let's not forget that. Matt Moore did not have a good camp. Matt Moore, and I love Matt Moore. I think Matt Moore is the best. That job. He had a very good first half of the season. He's regressed a little the past 2 weeks, but that has a lot to do with the way the defense is playing. That has a lot to do with fumbles that the team is making. He's looked very calm, very collected, making overall good decisions in the pocket. The guy's 8-9 games into a NFL career.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the key.
You know, Jeremy,
he's a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Jeremy, hey, you know what? I got to tell the truth. If you're really happy about it, enjoy it. But this is one that I got a feeling it's a little too early, Jeremy. Right now, this kid is only so many games into it. We're going to have to see. Look, I feel you. I know when you hate certain players, or you just dislike certain players. I get it. There's a few Boston guys that I don't care for, you know, Boston and the Red Sox. I'm a Yankee, dude. What can I say? But it is a little early. Tannehill is no Ryan Leaf, and he is no Jamarcus Russell. The guy is showing up every day, and he's putting up tight spirals. Oh, here we go. We've got about 7 minutes left, but we have another caller. Do you want to take him, Eli?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
All right, 718 caller. Remember, 1 second delay. Be nice.
And the best part, let me just before right hand, let's remember who Jeremy said should be the guy that went ahead of Ryan Tannehill.
Who was
is
that?
Kobe Fleener, tight end, who's had a very impressive great year with 21 receptions and 222 yards. That's really what you have a problem with Miami taking Tannehill over? Go to hell.
Oh, ouch. Go ahead, caller. Welcome.
Hey, this is Ariel calling from Miami. Let me ask you, what's with the Marlins? Eli, what's with the Marlins?
You think I'm stupid, Jeremy?
Eli, what's with the Marlins? You think they're gonna get my boy A-Rod?
Is that Jeremy?
Jeremy, it's a bad accent, and we know you're very, very, you're very cute. You have a mobile and a home phone or some other shtick like that.
Oh, 718. That's
very,
New York.
Very cute.
Eli, you think they're going to get my boy A-Rod?
Yeah, you wish the Yankees were able to do with A-Rod what the Marlins did tonight with their bad contracts.
Listen,
trade them.
Eli.
Get rid of
them. They need him, right?
Yankees fans, after 1 year of A-Rod, were ready to trade him. What about your logic of, you got to stick with your plan. After 1 year, you can't just drop him.
Listen,
yes,
Eli,
you
why are you killing your
when
old
you
boy, Ariel?
Plan,
Eli.
Plan, you get rid of it and you redo it.
Eli, why are you killing your old boy, Ariel? All right? What's going to be? You think the Marlins are going to get A-Rod to draw some seats?
Could be. I don't think so, but you never know.
Good to speak to you, Eli. You got to come around Zweig's more. Take care.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Eli. You got me on that one, dude. I'm sorry. I owe you a professional and a personal apology. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell it was him. Hope it wasn't too disrespectful.
Nah, that's, you know, stupid is as stupid does, and he thinks stupid, you know, stupid does try to call twice, and stupid gets called twice, so, you know.
Okay, well.
Let him call again, you know.
Okay, but wait a minute, I let him in. Stupid is as stupid does. So I fully
well,
admitted.
Well, it actually worked out well,
because
it made for some radio.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't get a chance to screen the callers. We're just down to a few more minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of good stuff. It's, you know, it's explainable tonight. We're going on the fly, you know. Really, just last minute. This show was for one reason and one reason only. I wanted to vent and to give my opinion on the record for the Marlins and not buy into all the hope, and all this overreactionary, lazy thinking with the Marlins trade. Do I think it's a good trade or a bad trade? I don't know at this point. I don't think it's a money dumping just for the sake of money dumping trade that people are making it out to be. Let's see what they do the rest of the offseason.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you heard it. I really appreciate the commentary from Eli. It gave me some pause to think about it, and I appreciate it. I actually like it. I like the trade. I'm hoping the Marlins will be able to be competitive real soon. It's an awful nice stadium down there. Have you been there, Eli, to check out the new stadium?
Yes, I flew down a few days early from a planned vacation. I switched my ticket and made it a little earlier to go to the home opener at the stadium. They did a very, very good job with that stadium. I like it. It's a totally different feel. It's nice as a baseball fan in Miami to finally have our own park. You know, up until now we've been sharing. That's you know, and I've been a few times to the stadium. I love it. It has a great feel to it. It's brand new, obviously. Put a winning team on the field. They weren't able to do it last year. They're coming out and saying we weren't able to do it last year. We're getting rid of it. We're redoing it. We're gonna retry it, and let's see what they do. That's really what I'm looking out for now. Is what do they do with this?
Fair enough, ladies and gentlemen. There's an old line that says, "Fool me once, fool me twice." Is there another one that's fool me a third time?
Yeah. Could we just re-go over for Jeremy's sake? Kobe Fleener, the guy that the Dolphins were so bad at passing on for a player that could be a franchise quarterback. They should have went with Kobe Fleener, who's got 21 receptions for 220 yards and no touchdowns 7 games in. Yes, that is the player they should have passed on a potential franchise quarterback for.
Now, I do believe I recognize this number, so we're going to go ahead and go to this one. Oh, we just lost it, the 917 number. Do apologize. I thought I recognized that one, but it's
who's
all good.
Who's 718-338? Is that the...
Well, let's not use that number out loud. Sorry! But anyway.
My bad.
Yeah, it's okay. No, we actually had another one right there, and it was a 917 number, and it's okay. So it's all good. Usually, there they are again. I think I recognize that number. Let's bring them on right now. Caller.
Let's try it.
We got a minute and a half, 917. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to congratulate you on your show tonight. You guys did a great job.
You've been listening?
DJ, I'm gonna come in live to Brooklyn and give you a hug and a kiss so you know you don't get too offended over this.
Oh,
I told
we lost
you very
again.
Simply.
Yep,
DJ's a little hot under the collar that we went fly by night and ended the show. I'm not. This was nothing to do to try to undermine DJ. I love DJ. DJ is the only reason the show is going. The only reason I am here is because of him. He's the best main host. I am just a sidekick. But right now, tonight, I was so. You know me. I wanted my I needed my reaction to go live for the record on the air. That's the only reason we did it this way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? It's all good. I know we lost DJ Ryan on the call. I'm glad he called in. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the next Sunday program that you guys do, and I think it's going to be great. I want to thank Couch Potato, Laker Fan, and everyone for being in with us. We're down to less than a minute. I'm sure you guys are going to be having a program this Sunday, same time, right, Eli?
Sure, looking forward, Raj.
There she is.
Thank you much for this.
Oh, no, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, guys, peace always, ndbmedia.net, and find us on Facebook as well. We'll see you guys. We're out.